you won't hear text. Our preaching is biblical. It's from a Bible base. I don't really identify anymore. I'm not ashamed of my Pentecostal heritage. I speak in tongues. I shout. I prophesy as the Lord moves upon us. The gifts of the Spirit are valid and verifiable biblically for this day. It's hard to discount them and discredit them, and I'm not here to defend that to you because you know that already. Amen. We had a minister who's now with the Lord who attributed all of these gifts of the Spirit and expressions of them as eating too much pizza. I want him to know that I have eaten too much pizza before, and I did not prophesy. Can you say amen? A lot of other sounds, and I won't even go into all of that, but it wasn't prophecy and glorifying God in an unknown tongue. But people misunderstand, misinterpret, and we understand the differences are there. I'm in a pastor's meeting right now, and I'm meeting with pastors from other backgrounds, and we're coming to a common ground. We figured out last Tuesday morning that it was time to circle the wagons, that the church and the faith is under attack. And if you really know Jesus as your Savior, it's time to link arms with others who know Christ as their Savior and defend the faith. And Chuck Colson, I want to say something good about what he's doing. He's leading a group of ministers right now that are signing a document that endorsing, encouraging people to have civil disobedience if the laws of the land continue to conflict with the laws of God laid down, the faith that we are to live by. We should have the freedom in America to practice our faith. Amen. Amen. And if the laws of the land prohibit us following what God has taught us we should do, we shouldn't give in for political correctness. Political correctness is already allowing things to happen that shouldn't be happening. Amen. And so those that name the name of Jesus need to stand up in a way, not just in the pulpit, but stand up in the political arena as well and declare that this, like it or not, God has a place in this nation. And His Word has a place in His church, praise God. Hallelujah. And there is a higher authority than the Supreme Court and the senators and the congressmen and the president. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad to see that people are not just talking about it or complaining about it, but actually standing up. Yes, sir. Yeah.
The lady got up and read the Bible about the homosexuals, the women, the men, and the men.
Yeah.
She said, don't matter what kind of law you pass, just because somebody thinks that they want to be a man or a woman, they can just walk in whatever bathroom.
Yeah.
They want to, and you got your child in there, and whatever you go, you know, you're going to.
Yeah.
Said, then she went to talk about, I'm not calling nobody a dog, she said, but if my dog wanted to do this, you know.
Yeah, it's getting heated, isn't it? And the debate is going on. And the thing that we want to make clear during this debate as we practice our faith is that God loves all humanity, and He loves fallen man, and He wants people saved. But that doesn't mean He or we can condone wrong.
I think they got to get hold on this.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just part of a larger picture locally that's actually not even nationally, but this is becoming a global issue. Now, it's amazing that these things would come up this morning as we begin to teach, because it's going to fall in line with what the Lord has given today. Amazing that these issues would be here in a Thanksgiving service. But they are here, and we can't circumvent them. We can't have what I call ostrich faith. We can't put our head in the sand and pretend these things don't exist. We have family members that are homosexual, and we love them and pray for them. And there's been a distance for years because of us not being able to unpractice or even desire to not practice our faith. We have to stand on our faith. But that doesn't mean we don't love people and want to see them saved. And we treat them with respect and we love them. But we love our Lord as well. And we cannot deny Him or dismiss Him and just be absorbed into the culture. Praise God. So I'm going to talk about cultivating a greatly grateful heart. Say it with me, a greatly grateful heart. Everybody say, great is the Lord. Well, how should He be praised if He's so great? The Scripture is very clear. Great is the Lord. He is greatly to be praised. Can you say amen? That involves our whole being, not just part of us. Here's what William Law says. I like these wise words. He said, who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance or chastity or justice, but he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart ready to praise God for it. Takes a real saint of God that no matter what happens to bless his name. Can you say amen? If you want something that will challenge you to put your flesh on a cross, it's not just the giving up of some of the worldly habits, except for this one worldly habit that's hard to give up, and that's the habit of not being grateful when everything doesn't go our way. Can you say amen? It's easy to lose that attitude of gratitude when things don't go our way. Amen? I love Job because he almost lost it through complaining and murmuring, and I don't blame him, and you'd better not either. Because if all that happened to him in as short spaces it happened to him happened to you, you would have questions of God as well. But when push come to shove, when his friends accused him of unfaithfulness, when his wife told him, why don't you curse God and die, when he was sitting in the pain of his loss, in the pain of his friends accusing him, and having his wife say, look what God has done you an injustice, why don't you just curse him and die, the pain of his body now being racked with physical pain, spiritual heartbreak, emotional heartache. And when his push comes to shove, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, he will stand upon the earth. And though the skin worms eat my flesh, with all of my questions, with all of the things that I don't understand, I know my Redeemer lives. This is not the end of my story or God's story. At the last day he will stand upon the earth, and though the skin worms eat my flesh, my body, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord. Not another shall see him, but I'll see him, and I'll see him in this body you're looking at. The Lord gives, Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You talk about a saint, honey. That is a saint. One of the most entertained sins among Christians is the sin of ingratitude, which brings the murmuring and the complaining. Can you say amen? I don't believe I need a show of hands here. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But if I had a show of hands, I would raise mine first. I have been guilty of murmuring and complaining. I got up this morning mad at my dog. And I love my dog. You know what? I love my dog. But when the dog wakes me up out of a dead sleep and I got to bed late and I know how tired I'm going to be if I don't get my rest, and the dog is flapping her head like she's going crazy over there because she wants me to fix it for her. And I thought, dog, don't you know what time it is? My dog. Can you say amen? It's not daylight yet. But you know, an earache or whatever it was down in her ears, it don't care what time it is. It just hit her. And she knows that what I do and what my wife does, that we'll rub. Because she can't, how many know dogs can't rub their, how many's ever had, went like that? Amen. I mean, don't eat it or anything. Just kids do that. Just, you know what I'm saying. They eat things out of their nose. Go figure. Amen. But you go like, I mean, Shrek makes a candle out of it. And you know, he pulls something out of his ear. candlelight. Doug tried and said I couldn't get enough. I don't know what that's all about. We'll talk to Sherry later after church. Can you say amen? Something about Christmas. I don't know what that's all about. Listen, I was aggravated, and when I get aggravated, it's easy to lose that thankfulness. We get aggravated, we get things in life, and that's such a little thing. That's such a light thing. I mean, I could tell you the big stuff that gets to me. And immediately I begin to move away from gratitude and praise into complaining and griping. And we all have that in our flesh. It's normal to do that. God wants us to become abnormal. Amen. He wants us to get out of this normal reaction to things. Actually, what God wants us to do, and this is easier said than done for me or anybody else. He wants us to act instead of react. And in order to act instead of reacting, we got to predetermine how we're going to act. In fact, God is asking us every time something hits us to aggravate us, how are you going to act? Can you say amen? How are you going to act? This is upsetting. This is anger. He's not saying those feelings aren't justified, that you have those feelings. He's asking, are you going to react? Or are you going to act? As long as we keep reacting, Satan knows where we got our goat tied. And he can get our goat anytime he wants to. He knows what button to push and where it is. And he knows if he pushed the right button, he's going to get the same reaction every time. And if I start reacting in anger, if I start reacting in fear, reacting in doubt, reacting in just questionings and wavering faith, he's going to keep pushing the button. But what he's not counting on is that we're growing in God. And God is wanting to bring us to the place that we act instead of react. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In order to follow Jesus, you've got to act instead of react. How do I act toward an enemy determines loving my enemy. Not what I may feel. Can you say amen? If you're waiting to feel love for an enemy, you'll never feel it waiting to feel it. You will feel it if you start acting on the word and showing love, and not by feeling, but by doing good. Do good. That's an act, isn't it? That's not a feeling. That's not an emotion. That's a devotion to Christ enough to obey him in spite of how you may feel at a given time. Can you say amen? So how are you going to act? That's what God is going to ask us today about our gratitude. How are we going to act? The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most flesh crucifying. You think some of the rest of it is? Honey, it's going to take every bit of your flesh put on a cross to follow what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? I mean, he's telling us to surrender to him, submit to him, to be the children of our Father in a culture and in a world that is everybody's out to satisfy themselves and fulfill themselves and assert themselves. And he's asking us to die to self in order to follow him. To act instead of react. Amen. I remember when they told me the church was broke into. It so upset me. I was mad. I was mad at the angels. I knew better to be mad with God. I'd finally gotten a little higher than that. So I was going to take it out on the angels. And I thought, where were those angels? He said he would give angels charge. I'm not going to question God. I know better than that. I don't want to get slapped down. Can you say amen? But where were those angels? Where were the angels around the church? Because there ain't enough popo in Sulphur Springs to protect your property. Can you say amen? If God don't send the angels, it ain't going to happen. Can you say amen? And if the angels don't do it, they're coming through. Amen. Because the church has got that stuff easily pawned. And our church finally got its break in. They took everything that they thought was important. But, you know, when halfway to church, I thought, now I'm going to react. And question God, end up questioning God, blaming angels for not doing their job right, asking God to give them a demerit or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm on my way with all these questions because, again, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the Tampa Police Department telling me that I'm living in Plant City. The church has been broken in Tampa, And they're telling me, your church has been broken in, so I'm visualizing what they might have done. Sometimes they break in, they decide to vandalize the place. Sometimes they want to break out the windows. Sometimes they want to put graffiti all over your wall. Sometimes they just want to break stuff. And I didn't know what I was going to walk into. And I'm on my way, and I've got the option. I can react, and my normal reaction to that, number one, is, God, why did you let this happen? Because we love you. We pray over this place constantly because we know we're in a vulnerable area. Amen. And why did you let this happen? And why were not the angels stationed out here? You know, I've read about missionaries being protected by angels with mighty swords drawn. Why didn't you whack somebody that tried to come in the door of the church? Can you say amen? Why did all of this? Or I can say, Lord, and you know, I've been teaching along these lines of acting. And you know what I've been teaching on? I will bless the Lord at all times. And I could hear myself teaching that. I could hear the tape in my mind rolling back to me. And hear God asking me, how are you going to act? Then just say, amen. Okay, something happened that you can't figure out, that you don't understand now. How are you going to act? And I decided, well, if I follow your word, if I act like I feel, I'm going to act mad and upset and angry and questioning God. But if I act on the word of God, I'm going to begin to praise you right here and right now. I'm going to begin to give you thanks. Praise God. So I decided halfway to Tampa, I'd rather go and face this with faith than to face it with all of these doubts and all of this stuff. And I said, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worry. We were playing a song back then. It's kind of a rocky song, but I love the message of it. I'm going to praise him till the walls fall down. Can you say amen? And I just begin to praise him and worship him. I begin to find reasons to thank him. I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I remembered a man, a great preacher of old. I think it was C.H. Spurgeon. He was robbed. Thieves fell upon him and robbed him. They didn't hurt him, and they didn't kill him or anything. They just robbed him. And after they robbed him, people were questioning, why did God let that happen to his choice servant? And this is what he said. He said, I'm glad that though they took everything that I had, I didn't lose much. Thank you, Lord. Didn't have it all in my pocket. I laid up most of it in heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he said, I thank you, Lord, that no matter what I've lost, you're able to replenish. Thank you, Lord. I'm not broke. I have God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that they spared my life. They could have killed me, so there's no witness, but they didn't. I thank you, Lord. And most of all, he said, I thank you, Lord, that I was the one robbed instead of the one doing the robbing. I thank you, Lord, that my life has been changed, that Christ has come into my heart, that I'm not a servant of the devil anymore. I'm the servant of the Most High God. Now listen, what the devil meant to do as evil, God turned it around to good because a man decided to act instead of react. You've got to predetermine to act, by the way. Amen? If I should suddenly, just out of nowhere, before the service even starts, if I should suddenly come back and just whack him across the back of his, just whack him right across his back of his head. Stand up, would you? Just see what I'd be getting into. He would have to predetermine to not knock me down. I mean, the normal reaction would be, and he big enough to do it, if I whack him back of the head, just turn around and jack my jaw. Can you say amen? Knock me out. Probably after he knocked me out, he said, I don't know why he did that, but if he keep doing that, I'm going to keep doing this. Amen. If he didn't predetermine how he's going to act before something like that come up, I mean, before it happened. One of the most sanctified women I ever knew was the previous pastor of the Holy Church of God. She dressed holy. She lived holy. She preached holiness, sanctification. Pearl J. White. She's a holy lady to this day. Amen. I just felt like a spiritual midget because of her dedication and sanctification and the holy life that she lived. I stood in awe of her holiness. And she was telling me one day, and I appreciated her telling me, because holy people are people. Sanctified people are still people. And this predetermining to act instead of react, we all have to put that into practice and keep that in mind. I don't honk when I see a bumper sticker, "Honk if you love Jesus." Because I don't know how long ago they put that on. And I don't know what state they're in. And they may forget it's back there. And they may not know why I'm honking. And I may get the bad finger for honking. Amen? You know which one that is. The bad California wave. Amen? According to Jethro, anyway, that's a whole other story. She said, "I was just had a wonderful time in prayer. Wonderful. See, you got to predetermine. It don't matter how what a great prayer life you had. Wonderful time in the Word. Said I had a wonderful time in the Lord Word. A wonderful time in prayer. I was out in my backyard going to deal with my flowers. It's a sunny, beautiful day, and my neighbor had some issue with something between the neighbors, you know, and between her, and she didn't even know that the neighbor was angry. And said that lady come over to the fence and started letting me have it. And she said, I just walked right up to the fence and looked her right in the eye." And see, I thought she was going to just tell her that she used wisdom and all. But you know, she said, and before I knew it, I had slapped her face. Now, if she hadn't told me that herself, I wouldn't have believed it. I would have said, not her. Of all people, not her. Can you say amen? But that's why I know that you got to, I don't care how spiritual you are, something could push your button. Yes, Satan knows where you have your goat tied. Look at somebody and say, he knows where your goat is tied. Can you say amen? Amen. And if he wants to get your goat, if you don't predetermine, if he knows you're going to react, he knows he got somebody to send across your path. Amen. 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 And there are people you can get away from and stay away from. And there are people you cannot get away from. And you cannot stay away from. So you've got to learn this lesson. And you know what? Who those people are? Jesus said, sometimes your enemies will be they of your own household. Doodle-doo-doo. Amen. Your own household. Can you say amen? You've got, and I've got to learn to act instead of react. If you're going to bless the Lord at all times, we've got to act instead of react. So on the way to church, I made a decision. This is one that I win. I'm going to tell you about them. Amen. Have you ever lost any? Everybody's lost some. We had a ex-Tampa Bay Bucks football player, minister to us at a pastor's luncheon recently. And he said, victory. He said, a winner is a loser that just won't quit. Yes. Amen. Amen. Because nobody hits the basket all the time. Nobody throws the perfect pass. Nobody catches it all the time. They miss it a lot of times, but they don't quit. A winner is a loser who just won't quit. Can you say amen? So if you're going to deal with the flesh, you are going to have times when the flesh is going to be given place to. But we're learning, amen, to take authority over. But you, in this, you have to predetermine what you're going to do. You have to predetermine how you're going to act. Love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. That's something that's predetermined that you act. That is not a reaction. My reaction is to be vengeful. My reaction is to hit back at my enemy. Somebody criticizes me, I want to cut them down like a big old tree. I want to go to work on them. Chop, chop, choppity, chop on their reputation. Can you say amen? 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 You see that little thing they sell on TV? You put a mushroom and a tomato and something else and an onion in there, and you go chops. I want to. Time I'm through, I've just ruined their reputation, assaulted their character, showed them. You think I'm bad? Well, you see what I tell you on this dude. That's reaction. But if I act according to what God tells me to do, I'm going to have to crucify this old flesh. I'm going to have to say no to self. I'm going to have to not gratify that vengeful desire in my flesh. Can you say, man? And I'm going to have to love. And I'm going to have to forgive. By the way, this lady asked her neighbor to forgive her. And if you think it was big of her to ask this lady to forgive her, the lady did forgive her. Amen. And some people won't forgive you. They'll hold it against the rest of your life. But in all honesty, I was glad to hear that someone in such a place with God still was growing and still needed to learn and still had problems with their flesh, just like we all do. C.M. Ward was the signature preacher for the Assemblies of God. Years ago, C.M. Ward was the radio minister for they had a radio broadcast that represented the entire Assemblies of God, and C.M. Ward was the radio minister. He was in such demand to come and preach and teach that you had to schedule him 1 year in advance to get him to come to your church to minister. He was booked up completely. And he lived in the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. He was the epitome of what a Christian ought to be. And he was hustling to church in evangelistic efforts. And he came into an airport at, I believe it was that Metroplex out in Texas. Is that the Metroplex in Texas? I think it is the Metroplex. Anyway, it's between Dallas and Fort Worth. There's this huge airport in Texas. I've been through that airport one time for a world Congress on the Holy Spirit. And I remember that well. It's a busy, busy place like Atlanta, one of the largest airports in the United States. And in his busyness, he said, I was wore out. I was tired from a meeting that kind of overlapped. The flight was delayed. Everything went wrong. I ended up getting on the plane late, getting there late, scheduled to preach the next morning, wore completely out, and my bags were messed up. And there was what they call a red cap. He's one of those men who helps you with your bags. And he said there wasn't nobody to talk to about how I felt and you know, to ventilate to. So this red cap was standing there, and he said, why can't they be more efficient about these bags? And why haven't you started the whole thing? And the guy said, sir, I don't know. I'm so sorry. It happens a lot here. And it's the crowds, the chaos, the confusion, things happen. And the guy was trying to just try to calm him down. And he said, I just got louder. And he said, I found myself yelling at the red cap, taking it out on that man. And he said, I got to my motel room. And In my motel room, it occurred to me that I hadn't prayed yet about the meeting coming up. And he said, I got down to pray, and the Lord checked me. And he said, Lord, it's in the wee hours of the morning. He said, yeah, I know. He said, Lord, I need to make this right. The Lord said, yeah, you really do. You really do. That tells me more about a man of God's character than the anointing he preaches with. It's not what he does under the anointing on a platform. It's what he does in his private daily life. By the way, a red cap is a guy that carries your bags for you for a tip. He doesn't make a lot of salaries dependent on those tips. He's nobody special in terms of dignitaries. He's just a blue-collar guy. But God said, you don't treat anybody with disrespect if you're going to represent me. This is the premier preacher for the Assemblies of God under conviction for the way he talked to a red cap. And rightfully so. What a wonderful man of God. He said he broke before the Lord. He said, Lord, I owe that man a deep, sincere, heartfelt apology. Lord, I can't preach tomorrow with this hanging on me unless we deal with it right here and right now. Lord, if you'll let me preach in the morning on credit, as soon as the service is over, I'm going to get somebody to take me to the airport. And I'm going to pray you show me that man so I can apologize. And the peace came. God saw his sincerity. It's too late that night. The shift was over. Amen. He preached on credit the next morning. God, amen? Amen? But as soon as the service was over, he got in a cab. I don't think he could find anyone to take him. He said he took a cab back to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex Airport. He prayed God would show him that man, and sure enough, here come a man hustling around the corner, amen, to pick up bags for people. And he said he came up to the man and said, "Sir," he said, "do you remember me?" And the man said, "I'm sorry, sir." He said, "there's so many people come through here." He said, "I just can't keep track of everybody. I'm sorry, sir." He said, "well, I am C.M. Ward. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yesterday when I got off my plane, I was tired, wore out, fatigued, and I took all my frustration of losing my bags for about an hour, I took it out on you." And he began to pat him on the shoulder and say, "oh, that's all right, sir, no problem, no harm." He said, no, you don't understand. I'm a Christian. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, "I want you to forgive me. I want to apologize to you. I should have never done that. Would you please forgive me?" And he apologized. My respect, I'd always respected C.M. Ward's public ministry from the pulpit and his teachings. But when I heard of him being humble and sensitive to the Spirit of God and being able to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and not sitting himself up on a pedestal where I don't have to apologize to these lower people under me. Amen. When I saw him reflecting what we're supposed to do, honey, you have to act on this word. Not just react. Some people will justify their feelings. I don't care who I hurt. I was angry and I'm justified. Nothing justifies that if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to predetermine to act and not to react. Part of that is in thanksgiving. Can you say amen? I will bless the Lord at all times. Means we have to predetermine how we're going to act. When things go wrong, when things go against us, when things don't go our way. How are you going to act? Some people quit going to church. They just stay out of church. They're discouraged. They just stay. That's reacting. Satan knows where. Everybody say, Satan knows where your goat is tied. Can you say amen? If he wants to keep you out of church and let your soul wither, all he has to do is discourage you. It works every time. We got to quit letting it work every time. Can you say amen? But you got to determine to act. Amen. If I acted on how I felt all the time, I wouldn't be hugging some folks. Can you say amen? I wouldn't be hugging on some people. Well, I know if I saw them coming down the grocery aisle, I'd go get on the other side and hope they didn't see me. Can you say amen? Amen? Like some people have done to me. I saw a lady one time, used to come to church coming down the aisle. She saw me and act like she didn't see me, but it was too late because I done saw her see me. We made eye contact. And she backed up with her buggy and went the other way. And I thought, what is the problem? Amen. What is your problem? Can't you look me in the eye? Did you do something that bad? Then it made me start wondering, what is the problem? Now, there are crazy people that I have done that. And I didn't, you know, there are some crazy, you know, there's some, amen, there's some crazy people. Brother, you just don't want to get started with. And it's not because you don't love them. You just don't have the time. Can you say amen? Anyway, that's a whole other story. God is so good. Everybody, regardless of our station in life, regardless of our spiritual status, regardless of our titles, we all have flesh to deal with. And everybody has to determine to act. When Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, that's not a feeling. That's not a reaction. That's an action. That's a determination that if someone does evil to me, I'm going to do good to them. I'm not going to render evil for evil, but rather good. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? He said, in so doing, you're going to heap coals of fire on their head. First time I read it, good. Because I thought that meant initially, if I'm good back to them, God's going to fry them. And I'd really like to be there. I'll bring marshmallows, can you say? And I found out he won't let me have that attitude either. Can you say, man? That heaping fire on their head is means, listen, if there's any possibility of God convicting them of doing you wrong, it's when you don't retaliate and try to get them back. They might start, actually, the Holy Spirit might be able to convict them about treating you the way they have. But if you just retaliate, it just keeps feeding and fueling that. Can you say amen? But when we don't retaliate and we leave that with God and say, vengeance doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. Hallelujah. The battle isn't mine. The vengeance isn't mine. It is all in God's department. And we pray for them. There's any hope of reconciliation, God can do it then. Hallelujah. But you've got to predetermine. So on the way down, I predetermine no matter what I see, I'm going to praise God. No matter what they've done, I'm going to thank God. Whatever they took, God will replenish. Whatever they broke, God will help us fix. It'll be better after it's fixed than it was before. If we have to paint the walls, thank God they'll be prettier after we paint them than they were before they met. Whatever, by the time I got there, I had victory. I had victory, church. Amen. Because I acted. Amen. Instead of continuing to react. Amen. And when I got there, the cops were waiting on me, and I went in and they said, can you tell me what they took? And I looked up on the platform. The first thing I saw was an old monitor that didn't work anymore that I'd been trying to get somebody to put in the dumpster. They got it. I said, well, they took the old monitor. Cop said, what was it worth? I said, wasn't worth nothing. We've been threatening to throw that sucker away. Hallelujah. What else did they take? Some little answering service, little old Mickey Mouse answering service that I've been wanting to replace, but it still worked, and you hate to get rid of it if it comes on at work. Some little answering service in my office was gone that I didn't really miss. What else did they take?
Oh, yeah.
These thieves, because it was Sulphur Springs and there were so many break-ins in Sulphur Springs, they took our security bell system, the motion sensor bell. I guess they were afraid they'd get ripped off, so they wanted to get them some security. They took the bell and the sensor that goes off when you get a break hit.
Our alarm system.
They did get our alarm system. But all the good stuff, I mean the good stuff, the big soundboard, the big power amp, the good stuff, the good tape player, all the good, and even the good microphones, they were all up in the balcony. They didn't see them. They didn't get up there. Amen? So they took some stuff, but they didn't take anything that would really hurt us. And I was prepared if they took everything to give God praise. And they didn't mark up our walls, and they didn't break anything other than getting in the door. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I'm there kind of smiling, looking around, and thanking God it wasn't worse. And the cops are mad. One of them cops said, man, he said, if they break in a convenience store, that's one thing. If they break in a parts store, that's another thing. But he said for them to break in a church, to come in here and desecrate God's house. He said, and he was fuming. Boy, I'd have hate for, you know, I'd have, bad boy, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? I mean, if he could have got him, he would have got him good. Can you say amen? Yes, they were in there. Yes, they did wrong. But praise had disarmed the devil's discouraging tools, praise God. Thanking God at all times had disarmed the devil's tools. He couldn't do what he wanted to do through that. He wanted to do more than take our stuff. He wanted to take our confidence in our God. Can you say that? He wants more than your stuff, honey. He wants your confidence in your God. He didn't just want to hurt Job. He wanted to discourage him and take his confidence in God away from him. And God said, if you will praise me when the sun comes up and you will praise me when it goes down, no matter what happens in between, somehow I'm going to give you victory no matter what. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somehow I'm going to give you victory in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you.
Hallelujah.
I will bless the Lord. He's predetermining to act. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. at all times. When the sun is shining down on me, blessed be His name. And when the darkness for a season covers me, blessed be His name. One of the big mistakes the devil makes as we close this morning is thinking that we're just mountaintop people. And their God is just a mountaintop God. And there are even messages to that effect. And they are terribly mistaken, terribly wrong. There's a scenario in the Old Testament where the enemies of God come up in a great army. And they fight Israel on the high ground. And they're terribly defeated because God takes up the battle. When they were right with God, you couldn't defeat them, no matter what. So they took a real beating, backed off, regrouped, and this was their mindset. There's no doubt that Israel has a God, because what happened today can only be attributed to the supernatural victory, not just a great army. There's no doubt in our mind that the God they worship is real. He exists. Just look what happened today on the battlefield. But we got Him figured out. We got Him figured out. Come on, this is it. They're all together now. We got a plan. We got a plan. He is the God of the mountains. He is the mountain God. If we challenge them to come down here and fight in the valley, in the plain, where it's flat, mountain gods don't come down here. They stay in the mountains. In other words, God is only with you on the mountaintop. He's of no benefit or value when you go through a valley. Satan's, come on. Yeah, so they came down into the plain and whooped him again. Can you say, man?
Amen.
And as they were turning tail and running, can you say, you know what they said? They said, you know something? Their God is not only the God of the mountains. He's the God of the valleys. You can't whip them when they're on the mountaintop, and you can't whip them when they're in the valley. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. In other words, you cannot defeat them. The important thing is, when you get in the valley, don't leave your God up on the mountain. Understand that in the valley, He can restore your soul. He can take you through that trial, hallelujah, and bring victory to your life. And you don't have to be dancing on a mountaintop for Him to do it. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Let God be God. And let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. I've discovered the God of the valleys. In my darkest valley, He's faithful. He's true to His word. And if I dare to pray in my valley, He will listen and hear the cry of a dejected man down in a deep, dark valley. Despondent and discouraged. But if I dare to use my faith in that condition, hallelujah. Somebody say, you can't have faith and discouragement at the same time. You are very mistaken. Amen. Because you're a triune being. You're a spirit, soul, and a body. It's possible to be discouraged in your mind, but have faith alive in your heart. Amen. Paul wrote Timothy, and you know what he told him? Timothy, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. We're talking about timidity. We're not talking about a spirit from the nether world. Amen. Come on, church. Let's just grow up a little bit today. You can't blame everything on the devil. Come on, you can't get that Flip Wilson stuff and make it merge with Scripture. Remember, who's the lady he played? Yeah, come on. I knew you were a very biblical people here. We know all of this theology, don't we? Geraldine. Geraldine come home and had bought a dress that cost all this money. And when asked, why did you spend all of that money on that dress, said, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. And then the question was asked, well, why didn't you resist the devil? I said, well, he pulled a gun. We can't blame it all on the devil. We've got to take responsibility for our flesh that always reacts. Timothy was reacting. God didn't give him the spirit of fear or timidity to pull his head back in like an old turtle when he's threatened. He was preaching the word of God. Listen, he reacted like we all would normally. He was preaching the word of God. He was a protege of Paul. Paul was his mentor. Oh, what a background he had in the gospel. What a qualified preacher he was. And he was declaring the unadulterated word of God. And false teachers around were preaching things that people wanted to hear with itching ears. And they had left the truth and the man of God to go listen to these false teachers. And that's enough to discourage you. It got to Jeremiah, amen, in the Old Testament. It got to Timothy in the New Testament. Got to Elijah, same thing. I'm the only one left jealous for you. And he pulled his head in. And Paul said, I know you have faith.
Yes.
To that discouraged man. Faith down in his spirit. I know you got faith. It was in your grandmother. And it was in your mother, Eunice and Lois. And I know it dwells in you. Can you say, man, they raised you and they raised you on the word of God. They started you out on the milk of the word. And then they started giving you the meat of the word. And I know you can't have, and faith comes by hearing. But it comes into your inward man. Can you say, man? But, and though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Amen. Like it's being renewed this morning. No matter what you're facing right now, if you're receiving the word of God into your heart, that man in the man, that woman in the woman is starting to stand up. Can you say amen? And that person, that one within you is going to bless his name. Not just gripe and complain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And that word sound mind is not the same word for sound doctrine, which means wholesome and free from impurity. It meant disciplined. Disciplined, that means you're predetermining how you're going to act and not just reacting to the circumstance. Satan knows where our goats are tied. And he knows how to get our goat anytime he wants to bring us down. But when we quit reacting, he's lost the battle by default. He cannot defeat us anymore. We prayed this morning against discouragement. No matter who's there, who's out, we're going to praise you today. We are not going to be discouraged. Amen. We're going to keep the vision. Praise God. If there's 8 of us here, the 8 of us are going to praise God. If there's 16, the 16 of us are going to be thankful. If there's 24, we're going to be grateful. Hallelujah. If there's 50, I'm going to shout. No, I'm going to shout anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is on the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said God is on the throne. We will close with this, brother, if you will come. We're going to close with this today. Listen to this. Let me put some things in perspective. In the world that we live in, listen to this. If you woke up this morning, you're more blessed than the million people who didn't survive last week. That's how many passed. If you woke up this morning. Did you eat something yesterday is the question. During the last breath that you just took, the last breath that God lent you, 2 children died of starvation. That's how quick 2 children in our world die of starvation. The time it takes you to breathe out and breathe in, 2 children die in our world. Every day, more than 16,000 children die from starvation in the world. How blessed are we? If you're healthy enough to be here, you're more blessed than 11 million just children who will die this year from preventable diseases before they reach their 5th birthday. You see, famine brings all kinds of other chronic diseases. It's not just the lack of food alone. It's the cholera. It's the diseases that follow famine. If your parents are still alive, you're more blessed than 12 million children who were orphaned this year in southern Africa alone due to AIDS. There are 12 million children without mothers and dads because of rampant AIDS in Southern Africa. So if you got your mama and your daddy, and I'm not talking about those of us who they've lived out their life. I'm talking about any child with a mom and daddy should be grateful today to have that mama and that daddy, because 12 million kids just in Africa don't have a mama and a daddy. If you earn more than $30 a month, you are more blessed than 1.2 billion people who live on less than a dollar a day. 1.2 billion. We all struggle to meet our bills. I owe, it's off to work I go should be all our bumper stickers. But we're still better off than so many people. If you have a bank account with some or any money in it at all, you're among the top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world. 92% don't have it to fall back on. If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 80% of the world's entire population. Oh God, how we think. You can worship God without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death. You're ahead of 20 million real Christians around the world who face these threats every day of their life in order to follow Jesus Christ. If you own a Bible and can read it, you're more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world that never had the opportunity to learn to read. So I ask you, how blessed are you? All of us sitting here are more blessed than we'll ever know. But what's more important than acknowledging our blessing is how thankful are we consistently. For the most perfect act of thanksgiving in the Bible, it's in Luke 22:17. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, take our sins, become a curse, become God forsaken for a season that we might never be forsaken of God who trusts in Him. Jesus picked up the cup and gave thanks. Can you say amen? The cup that He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. But when He picked up that cup, He gave thanks. And Jesus took the cup, gave thanks. And He took the bread and gave thanks. Jesus was perfectly aware of what these symbols stood for. They represented His blood and His torn, shredded, broken body. They represented His suffering and His death. And yet, wonder of wonders, He gave thanks at a time such as this. Let's just stop and appreciate that attitude for a moment. All of my griping and complaining is taken from me at the foot of the cross. We need to visit the foot of the cross more often. It indicates a height of perfection that we can only aspire to, but it also tells of a truth that we can all understand. It tells us no matter how difficult our circumstances, no matter how painful our prospect, no matter how bleak our future at a given time, we can and should give thanks to the Lord at all times for all things. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank you, Lord, for making me whole. You know, you can sing that no matter what's going on in your life. You should sing it. Your soul is still saved. That sacrifice is still in effect. What He did is not undone when things go wrong. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. You've got to determine. I will bless. He was predetermining how He was going to act no matter what happened. Amen? Amen. If you don't predetermine it, you're going to react. And Satan is continually counting on us reacting instead of acting. Praise God anyhow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. consistent faith and consistent praise is based upon consistent thankfulness. But when the heart becomes unthankful, the praises cease and the faith wavers. Be ye thankful that I may bless you with a blessing, that I may undo the curse, and that I may give you that that I purpose for you in spite of all that stands against you, saith God. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, will you cue up number three? They're going to sing that before we leave. It's a Thanksgiving thing. I like this. This is unknown, but it's good. It's short, but sweet. Thank God for dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While other folks go hungry, we're eating very well. With homes and health and happiness, we shouldn't want to fuss. For by this stack of evidence, God's been good to us. Amen. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. How many want to give Him thanks not just Thursday, but you want to give Him thanks every day of your life? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. And listen to this in Psalm 50 about thanksgiving. Amen. It gets down to the bottom of that psalm. Amen. And it says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that orders his conversation aright. Everybody that predetermines to act instead of react. Can you say amen? To him that orders his conversation aright. Everybody say predetermines to act. Isn't that exactly what he's saying? You're ordering how you're going to behave. You're deciding how you're going to act. Circumstances aren't dictating that. Satan isn't the one controlling that button in your life. God has control of that now. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will never cease from my lips. We ever get into that mode, the devil is defeated. Can you say, man? God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a disciplined mind. And to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of my God. Not in the saving of the soul in the new covenant sense. Salvation in the Old Testament always is God's deliverance. Everybody say God's deliverance. When Jesus came, when God came to save Israel in their day of trouble, that was their He was their Savior, their salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants to break yokes. God wants to open prison doors. God wants to set captives free. And He doesn't want to just do it in the world. He wants to do it in His church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 But He's got to teach us how to act instead of react. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Determine to act. Don't just react to that fuel, that flame of anger. Disarm it. Hallelujah. By acting on the Word of God. Forgive before the sun. This is not 24 hours. This is 12. Amen. Lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness. We fuel it, we feed it, we fertilize it. It grows up into an evil, wicked tree that's hard to be uprooted. Can you say amen? But if you get it when it's a seedling, you can kill it easy. Can you say amen? We have to get fear when it's a seedling. We have to get doubt when it's a seedling. Unbelief when it's a seedling. Amen. Jealousy when it's a seedling. Vengeance when it's a seedling. Cut it down before it grows into a big tree. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Did you learn anything about Thanksgiving and thanks living? Hallelujah. The cops noticed that night that I wasn't all that upset. And I told them, I said, I was as mad as an old wet hen on the way down here. But between home and here, I told the Lord, no matter what, I'm going to give you praise. And I saw an officer take his hat off and scratch his head. And I don't think it was lice or nothing like that. Amen. I know it was the springs, but you know. Because I believe it made a deep impression on him. It wasn't that it was a trivial thing. It wasn't something that you felt violated that someone would come in God's house and do that. But God is on the throne. And if we can't handle these incidents in a fallen world that are going to continue to happen as long as we live in it, we're in no condition to walk in consistent victory before God. We're going to be knocked. We'll take one step forward and two steps back because the devil knows where your goat is tied. And he knows what button to push to get you discouraged and to get you off your faith. But if we rob him of that ability in our life, God is faithful to his word to perform it. He watches over it to perform it. Can you say amen? And the Lord will bring us out, establish us, give us victory, and make us a witness to a gainsaying world. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give him thanks this Thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? You singers that sang, would you come back? Those of you that are left here, I want you.